Blog Talk Radio.
Puts it where it hurts. By the way, my name is Christopher Bruce. I have America's Deadly Sins as a blog online. You can find it. This is the live version, okay? And we are killing it in 15 days, folks. We've had almost 1,000 listens. I think that's pretty damn good, don't you? I think so, too. Today, we've got Ash Fox. You guys know who I'm talking about. This is the guy that's putting it all together for America, folks. This is a man who has put together an effort of national proportions. It's going to be wicked. It's going to be big. And it's going to be great. You know it. I know it. We're all going to like it. It's going to be a good time in our neck of the woods, anyway. You know what I'm talking about. We're going to put it right to CPS. We're going to punch him in the gut, make him know we're there. Okay? You understand what I'm talking about. A lot of you people want to know. If I've been through the experience that you have, you can best believe I have. And I am not a happy guy today. But that's neither here nor there. We'll tell you that story at another time. It looks to me like Mr. Fox might just be waiting in the wings, waiting for me to come in and bring him in. Mr. Fox, I am about to bring you up. You ready for this? Mr. Fox, you there?
Yes, hello.
Hey, what's up, bud? I haven't talked to you in a long time, like never. What's going on with you?
Oh, getting ready to do this show.
Oh, come on, you can say something better than that. Come on, everybody's listening.
Oh, we had a great event last night down here in my hometown, passing out flyers trying to inform people about these new cybersecurity bills that they're trying to pass, basically like an online version of the Patriot Act, just to violate your privacy online.
Oh, yeah, I know all about that crap. Yeah, I can't wait for that. That's coming up, from what I understand. They're going to be making you pay for your YouTube, and they're going to be making you pay for everything now. You can upload stuff. If you pay us $100 now, you can upload 5 videos. Yeah, screw you. You know, heck with that bull crap. This is not going to be a pretty show, okay, folks? There's probably going to be just a little bit of swearing going on here. I'm pretty sure I'm going to do it. Ash, I think you might even, slip in a word or two. I don't care, okay? Because this is the message that we need to get out. We need to get this out. We need to get CPS, we need to get them brought down to their knees. This is not just an issue for CPS, though. This is an issue for all the injustice in this world and on this earth. And, Ash, I think you know that better than I do.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Now, remember, there's a little bit of a lag. What's that?
A lot of things are connected here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know that. Ash, I want you to know that there is other people that are wanting to talk or other people that are calling in already. Can you believe that? I knew I promoed this thing well enough. Listen, caller, you just came on live. I wanted you to know that if you do have a question or if you want to input some comments, you'll have to press the number 1. That brings up a little bubble. It lets me know that you're on the air as well. Mr. Fox, we're going to go ahead and give you a little opportunity, however, to introduce yourself. Tell us what you're all about. Tell us what you want to say. Say it all. This is your time. There is a little bit of a lag between me and you, by the way. There's like a 3 or 4 second lag. So if it sounds like I'm interrupting you, I'm not. I might just be jumping in when I think you're done talking and it just didn't work. But anyway, go ahead. I'm going to let Ash introduce his cause. Let him introduce himself as much as he is able. Go ahead, Ash.
Hello. Well, I'm the main admin for the Operation Exposed CPS page on Facebook and also the main organizer for the June 5th protest. We have a very large list of cities that need to be updated, and we will be releasing that very soon. Should be sometime this weekend. If you haven't heard about the June 5th protest, go on to Op Exposed CPS on Facebook and check us out. International Day of Protest, it's not only in the U.S., it's also in Canada and the U.K. as well. And we have some people from Australia that are wanting to join in too.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure this is a worldwide epidemic, everybody. We know this. We know this. And I'm going to be explaining that at a later time when we have just a minute. By the way, we're going to go ahead and plug the episode. This is Ash Fox, folks. This is Ash Fox. He is live with us today. He's going to be telling us about everything that has to do with his events. And he's going to tell us a little bit, you know, as much as he can possibly tell us about himself without screwing himself up too badly. We're going to go ahead and bring somebody else in because I just talked to him on Facebook. I think this person has something very important to say. I'm going to go ahead and bring you in. Caller, you just say live on me. So I just brought you in just now. Are you there? Caller. Yeah, we had a caller. Well, anyway, they are not speaking.
I don't know how many callers you have. This is Angie.
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me? This is Lucy.
Yeah, I can hear you. You're breaking up a little bit, but I can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. To investigate APS uses of power. State.
Okay, Caller, I'm going to go ahead and interrupt you because I got to tell you, I'm not sure exactly where you're calling in from or what you're doing because usually when people call in, they just have a number there, and I don't have any names or anything. Yours says live for some reason, and I'm not sure why that is, but wherever you're calling from, you're breaking up really bad, and I can't really understand a word you're saying. Could you possibly hang up and try your call in again, and we'll just go ahead and talk to Ash for a minute, and then you can come back, and we'll try you again? Would that be okay? Okay. I'll just hang you up and just give us a call back. You might want to try a different phone, maybe.
Okay.
Give it a shot. Thank you. All right, Ash, we're back with you. Go ahead and say what you want to say. Anything you want to tell us about. This is your time, buddy. This is your time. Come on.
So the event started. We realized that Child Protective Services and Department of Children and Family Services had no oversight and was basically accountable to no other agency. No other agency in charge of investigating them. There's nowhere to go to really report claims when they falsify documents or lie in family court. And even if they do lie in family court, there's oftentimes gag orders placed on the families where they can't talk about the case. Different things like that. Just the amount of corruption is sickening.
Absolutely.
So we thought, well, this is basically human trafficking. If they're being funded per child, which it's different in every state, the funding is different in every state, then that's human trafficking, and the FBI or the Department of Justice should be in charge of investigating this. So we figured we would do a call flood to the FBI. Basically the same thing as a DDoS, but over the phone, sort of an analog DDoS, a distributed denial of services attack. Make it to where they had to listen to us because they wouldn't be able to have their phone lines free, jam up the phone lines. And that was very successful.
Yeah, what happened with that?
Especially
tell
in
me.
California.
Tell me what happened with that.
Well, they were definitely expecting us, and they were not really listening to parents and families, just hanging up on them as soon as they mentioned CPS. But we managed to clog up the phone lines for most of the day. And I know in California, definitely had the phone lines clogged up.
Ah, that's got to be a hard job to do, considering how big the FBI is out there. I want to tell you that I went through my own little personal experience with calling the FBI, and this actually was an entire day that I dedicated toward calling every single solitary agency I could possibly think of that might possibly be in charge of these people. And you would not believe the runaround I got. I mean, FBI was saying, oh, you need to call the U.S. attorney. U.S. attorney was saying, oh, you got to call the state attorney. A state attorney would say, oh, you got to call the U.S. attorney, and you got to call the FBI. And I'm like, who holds these people accountable? Who in the hell watches over these people? We don't have one big nation anymore. We've got 51 little nations in this country, and nobody is accountable to anybody, and it really pisses me off because these people in Washington are all supposed to be in charge of overseeing the governors and the states. If you don't like what's going on in your state, you wait until it gets all the way through the state, and then you go to the government. Well, yeah, but then when you get to the government, they all say, oh, I can't do anything about that, and then they shuffle you off to somebody else, and that shuffles you off to somebody else, and next thing you know, you're back where you started. Well, I say don't. Here's the one that pissed me off the most, Ash. I called the U.S. attorneys, and I said, what do you do in your office anyway? And that was how I started the conversation. What do you do in your office? Oh, we bring felony charges against persons. Okay, well, I've got about 12 persons in my state that have committed felonies. Now, let's talk. Oh, well, who are we talking about? And I said, well, we're talking about a CPS worker and a judge and a lawyer who have all broken felony laws and doing this stuff. So let's get to it. Oh, we don't get involved in that stuff. Well, what do you do then? Well, we bring felony charges again. Oh, you're just going to give me the same runaround again. Oh, well, yeah, well, I'm sorry, but we don't help in that. I said, well, I have people that have committed felonies. You charge people with felonies. Let's get busy. No, we don't do that. I hung up on those people really fast. Anyway, the caller has come back in. Caller, I need you to press a 1 on your phone so I can bring you in. Are you there? Let's see that little bubble pop up. Hopefully she's listening. Come on. Press the 1. Press the 1. We're waiting on you. Nothing. Okay. Well, let me see if I can bring her in anyway. Maybe that'll do it. Hello? Are you there? Caller, are you with us? Okay, she's texting me, but she's not. Oh, hold on just a second. Let me see what's going on. Okay, can't hear 9 my phone without being live, which turns me into a caller. They couldn't hear me. Okay, well, I can't hear you. Okay. Ash, go ahead, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your flow, bud.
Well, 2 other things that I think need reforming about our CPS system besides just accountability is they need to be audited. And not only audited monetarily, audited to keep track of all the children in the system. They did an audit in Illinois and found that there were over 13,000 missing children, 1,300 missing children in the foster care system.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
I'm sure a lot of these children have been sex trafficked and just disappeared.
Dude, I don't
very,
even,
very
you know, disturbing. a true audit of this system would take years. Years. And people
have... Oh, it's
have,
a very large job.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to remember all the things these people have been doing. I just can't even think about it. But anyway, go ahead.
And the next thing is, I don't know about in all states, but in my state, the child abuse hotline is ran by the state police. So they take the calls and register the complaints and then pass them on to the Department of Children and Family Services. And then they write up a case outline based on those complaints. And then they have the caseworker, who a lot of times is not an actual social worker. They're just a caseworker. You know, they don't have a degree or anything.
No, no.
And they're in charge of basically doing a police investigation. And it gets children taken from their families. And I think if it's serious enough, if the allegations are serious enough to take someone's child away, then they need to be investigated by the police and not just a caseworker. It's utterly ridiculous.
Okay.
And one of the things that started that brought this to my attention was the Stanley family case here in Arkansas. I believe some of the older children in the family were not happy with the way Mr. Stanley was running his household. He's a pastor, and they grow most of their own food and live sort of outside the system, homeschoolers, home birthers.
Right.
And so the police were basically waiting for an excuse to come and take these kids away. Because as we all know, the Patriot Act, if you don't know, the Patriot Act lists homeowners.
Oh, I know the Patriot
potential,
Act.
Potential domestic terrorists or low-level domestic terrorists.
Right.
Homeschoolers are considered that under the Patriot Act. So I'm sure they had been on a list, and they were just waiting for an excuse to take the kids. So they came in, raided the house for this bottle of Miracle Mineral Supplement, which he was using to purify their water. And they take the kids, and it came out recently that they did not even take the bottle of MMS in the raid. So there's really no reason to take the children at all.
Right.
Other than allegations, supposedly made by the oldest children. I'm not 100% sure who has done that. But now Mr. Stanley has to have a CPS psychologist in his house at odd hours to overview how they're raising the children. And it's utterly ridiculous.
Well, I'm sure.
Complete violation of his rights.
Oh, God, I've got everybody texting me right now. They all know I'm on the air. What the hell are they doing? I've got a couple of people that are going to be calling in. I'm sure you're going to recognize them when they do. One is Linda Hickey. I'm sure you're familiar with her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she'll be calling in here pretty quick, I believe. Wendy Green of the Angel Justice System might be coming in too, but I'm not sure yet. Still waiting to hear from them, but I'm sorry, I'm not trying to... A conference call. Okay, well, never mind. I have no idea what I'm doing here. I'm trying to have five conversations at once. That caller finally called back. I told her to go to the chat room, and she hasn't appeared yet, so I don't know what the heck's going on today, but we're having a fun time. But hey, you're here, and that's all that really matters. You're the guest. Go ahead. Tell us more. That's all I got to say. Hey, tell us about a lot of people are really – well, one thing I wanted you to talk about, and this is pretty important, what a lot of people are really curious about Anonymous as a whole. Now, granted, there are a lot of YouTube videos and so on and so forth, but I'm a – well, how do I say it? I'm a horse out of the horse's mouth kind of guy. You know, I want to hear it right from the horse's mouth. Tell us about Anonymous as, you know, as a movement, as because a lot of people have looked at your stuff and know who, you know, they see the guy Fox Max and they immediately think bad things. And this is a common misconception, you know, of anything that's anti-government, anti-branch of government, anti-whatever. people just get really nervous when they see stuff like that, and they just immediately tune out because they think it's, oh, this is bad, you know. But I think it's really important for you, Ash, as my guest, to put these people to rest and let them know that what you're about is not violence. It's not overthrow the government. Oh, my God, overthrow the government. No, it's not about that. Now, I know that, and it didn't take me long to – I mean, there was a couple of times where I got a little nervous myself, to be honest with you. I looked at that one video. What was it? It was one that was about Jade Helm 15, and I was like, oh, boy, this could be bad. And then, you know, as I watched other videos, I was like, oh, I like these guys' ideals. I like the way they think. So I really need you to put these people to bed. Put them to bed and tell them a nice story. Tell them what this is really all about. It's not about violence. I know that for a fact. But go ahead.
Correct.
They want to hear it from you.
Correct. Anonymous is a completely nonviolent group. If you see a video or someone claiming to be anonymous and calling for violence, they are fakes. And the government, certain agencies have people to infiltrate these groups as provocateurs to try to incite people to violence. And that's really how you can tell who the fakes are, is that if they're calling for violence, because we are a totally nonviolent group. We're not anti-government, we're anti-corruption. The government,
thank you,
is the people. We are the majority of government workers are part of the 99% also. So they are us. We are them. They are anonymous. Anyone is anonymous. If you share the ideal, then you are anonymous. We're not all hackers.
Right.
A lot of us are street organizers and activists.
I feel you.
And, you know, we use the symbolism to promote unity. Someone said if you give a man a mask, he will tell the truth.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that. I've actually thought about saying that myself. I was waiting for you to say it. I was pretty sure you were going to say it at some point. That is a very good quote, and I think it's as far as I'm concerned, you could plaster that across your chest, and that would tell me everything I want to know.
Right. I know you've heard the term, don't shoot the messenger before, right?
No, never. Yeah, I've heard of it.
So,
go ahead.
Okay, well, if you take the symbolism and you take away the individual person's identity, then you just have the message. You don't have the messenger anymore. So
right.
We're forced to just and not to identify with whoever is saying it.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, it's really hard to think like that. I mean, when you think back in the days, well, a good example, of course, would be, what was that one movie? 300, you know, where they sent the Persian messenger. Well, you know, don't shoot the messenger. But in this case, that was a good idea. But anyway... But anyway, yeah, and guys, you got to remember too. You got to remember that Anonymous as a group is the whole basis behind it is people put their faces out there, and they put their names out there, and people immediately target you, and it's almost a standard. I mean, but if you present yourself anonymously, which we have every right to do in this country. We have every right to protest anonymously. We have every right to call anonymously. Hell, we have the right to call CPS anonymously. Okay? So Anonymous is, these people have every right to be amongst our citizenship as anyone. These are Americans just like you are. And the neat thing about Anonymous is they could be your friends, your family, your grandmother, your father. It doesn't matter. Everybody that feels injustice in our country, which we have plenty of, thank you very much, feels injustice in our country, has every right to say something about it without having to tell them who they are, because if they tell them who they are, they may get picked up, or they might get arrested falsely, or they might get picked on or harassed or whatever. And the whole point of this is, to keep it on the low. Let's be honest. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ash.
Correct, and I've noticed in some of these groups, the like nationwide protest against CPS, DCSF, we have caseworkers coming in to these groups and stalking people that have open cases or were victims and then using what they say against them in court. So if you're anonymous in one of these groups, you can't be targeted because they don't know who you are.
Right, correct. And I got to say something about that. By the way, to any CPS workers or social workers that might be listening, and I know that some may be, I don't give a crap if you know who I am. My name is Christopher Bruce. I am the Mighty Sword, and I'm coming after you. Not violently, but lawfully. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Enjoy your life. Ash, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to address those CPS caseworkers also that stalking people in groups is not okay.
Not fair behavior, thank you very much. Get lost. Get out. We don't need you. And really, if you're worried about all 2,000 of us, well, I don't think you have much to worry about, but go ahead.
One of the things I wanted to mention, too, is about the anonymous symbol with the laurel wreath and the person in the suit with the question mark for the head.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to know about that.
Some people say, oh, well, the laurel wreath, that's the same symbol that's on the UN. The UN symbol. Well, if you go back to what the laurel wreath represents, it comes from the Olympics, like the original Olympics in mythology.
I thought it was even before that. Something. I thought that was Roman days for the laurel wreath, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right, yeah, you're correct. That's what I was speaking of. It represents doing something not for personal gain or for personal recognition and doing something
absolutely
just because it's right.
Absolutely, and I was going to bring that up, too, while you were talking about it, but you did it for me. Thank you very much. And you are a well-educated man, and I like that about you. Go ahead.
I also wanted to mention the Thomas Legault case in Detroit.
Yes, would you? And I think I have Mr. Legault in my friends list, don't I? Isn't that the picture of the little baby sitting in the grass?
Correct.
Yeah, let's go with that. I'd like to hear about it.
So he had three kids taken. One of the kids ate a non-toxic Crayola crayon, and he had a messy house and an unloaded shotgun that was not in the reach of the kids, and they felt this was reason to take his children.
Yeah, love that stuff. Love that stuff.
Taken.
I don't even want to tell you how many crayons I ate when I was a kid, okay?
Me
hundreds,
too.
I'm sure. I kind of like the taste of them. I mean,
if every kid that ate a Crayola crayon got taken from his parents, I mean, come on, it's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, and didn't they make flavored, like, scented Crayola crayons for a while? Didn't they make that?
I'm not sure. I never heard of that.
Yeah, I think they did. They had the black was like black licorice scented, and the blue was like blueberry. And I'm not kidding you. I wouldn't even doubt if that wasn't the crayon that the kid ate. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, okay, since they've been in foster care, they've been moved 9 times, separated from each other. One of the children was molested in foster care, and the police and Child Protective Services are ignoring that, doing nothing. The little girl was mauled by a dog and now has scars on her face.
Okay.
And all this has happened since they've been in foster care. And it's just way, way worse than anything that could have ever happened while they were with him. So, again, it's another case of where they're taken from a family on trumped up allegations over a messy house and, you know, an unloaded shotgun is not in reach of the kid. You know,
right.
Completely within our constitutional rights to have a weapon in our house to defend ourselves. It's our Second Amendment right. And I think if you have kids, you probably should have one. But they're using this as an excuse to take children when really that's exactly what you should be doing if you care about your children.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, listen, I got a couple of check-ins. the gal that's been trying to call me now for a while now has finally gotten back in, and now she's chatting with us on the chat box. I wanted to tell you, caller, that we do have you on the chat box right now. Also wanted to mention that I also have Jim Black. Jim Black has been with us every day from Texas. He's from Angel Eyes over Texas. I like the guy. Talked to him several times. He's got some good stuff for me and good info. We met over a woman who was in a real dangerous spot with a social worker that was trying to commit some fraud. Gee, there's a big surprise, huh? And some fraud on her and do something funny that we weren't sure exactly what that was going to be, but it sure did look dangerous. And I freaked out a little bit. I got a little over-paranoid with her, but I did help her at least get into the hands of Jim Black, and Jim Black's a good guy. I'm just going to go ahead and say her first name. I'll just give you your initials. A-B, A-L, my apologies. A-L, you are in the chat room with me right now. If you've got something you wanted to go ahead and ask Ash or mention, now would be the time to do it, or you can do it anytime before the end of the show. I just wanted to go ahead and plug the show again. This is America's Deadly Sins. We have a blog, same name. Also, you can find me online. All you got to do is put Christopher Bruce in there, and you'll find me all over the place. Christopher Bruce, the Mighty Sword, will get you even closer. Angie is with us. She's typing now, so she should be coming up with her question here pretty quick. And now I just went and said her first name. How stupid of me. But anyway, and Jim Black doesn't care that I mention his name, so I mention his name every day. Also, we have with us Ash Fox. You guys know who I'm talking about. If you have any questions, we have a call-in number, 347-324-5146. In case you didn't hear that, please get your pen and paper ready right now. 347-324-5146 if you want to call in and ask Ash anything or make any statements or tell us about any events that might be happening that might be related to this. We're going to go ahead and get the phone back to Mr. Ash, please.
Yeah, well, we have quite a few large cities with confirmed protests where the...
Hey, yeah, tell us how many cities you're up to now, Ash, would you?
I've not made a current list. We have around 200.
Yeah, I like to hear.
But the ones that are being promoted the heaviest, I would say, would be Denver, Sacramento...
Well, yeah,
Jackson,
obviously.
Mississippi, here in my home state of Arkansas, at Little Rock.
Yep.
Texas, we should
Did
be
you just say you were
from.
In Little Rock? I'm coming down there, man. That's all there is to it. I flushed you out finally. We're coming after you. No, I'm coming.
Not
I'm kidding.
In Little Rock. So I'm organizing a protest at the state capitol there.
Oh,
I will
damn.
Be there.
Okay,
the all
right,
capital.
All right. Okay, you get away with it this time, pal.
I may have to do... the Capitol building on a different day. I might have to do it on the 4th. And also around the country, several cities are doing it the 5th through the 7th, so there might be some different dates there.
There's going to be some doing it two, 3 days, huh?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Also, I want to mention phase 3 of the event leading up to the protest. We will be flooding Senate and House members with requests to reform CPS on a national level, on a federal level. And the details of that will be released soon. So it should be later in the month, around the 23rd, 22nd. And then right before the protest, there will be phase 4, where we will have everyone contact the media to raise awareness of the protest so we can get media coverage.
Absolutely, absolutely. And
this is,
I want you guys to know that I am in full swing with that action. Anybody wants to get involved in that, you are more than welcome to contact me on Facebook. I am constantly flooding people with stuff. I do it all by myself, okay? You guys should take up the same kind of action. These people need to have a lot of people writing them all at the same time, and a flood is great, but if the flood comes one day and it's gone the next day, a lot of people just shrug their shoulders and say, well, that was fun, let's see you later, bye. And if you're constantly bugging these people, A lot of times, you'd be surprised. It'll get you some action. There was an action that was posted by Charles Grassley in our state. Chuck Grassley is well known across the country, is now in charge of something that has to do with the law. So I can't remember the exact office that he's holding, but he's something like he's on the board of judicial something or other. So he's big time now. He's been in the Senate a very long time, and he was mostly an agricultural guy, agricultural representative. And I've contacted the man myself, and his branch was like, well, I'm sorry. I mean, we're part of the executive branch. We can't really do anything. We can't step on the toes of the judicial branch. And my mother was like the guilt queen. This woman would buy you tickets, pack your bags for you, see you off, all that good stuff. She was good at guilt tripping. And I flooded this guy's office with stuff for days and just said, and you're just going to sit there and do nothing. And I think he finally took the hint, and I think he put out an action that I might have just had a small hand in because I just annoyed the crap out of him. That's what these people are there for. People got to realize that these people are representing you in the country. They're in Washington representing your feelings, your thoughts, your views, what you want done, what you don't want done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You got to remember that these people were elected by you. You are paying their salary. You are paying their salary. If it weren't for you, they would not be there. You need to make that clear to them. You need to say to them, hey, pal. Hey, you got to say, hey, pal, I pay your damn salary. You better do something for me or you're not getting into office next time around. Of course, he's probably so old he doesn't care anymore, but that's not the issue. The issue is we can start asking for term limits, people, you know, and believe me, we have been. And don't think we won't make it a law if we really want to, because we will. And these people got to understand that they do not control us. We control them. We put them where they are. They are supposed to be there to serve us, not the other way around. Thank you very much.
Did you hear that the Senate Finance Committee is investigating one of the largest private foster care?
Oh, yeah.
In the country?
I am not shocked at all.
So that's a start. We have their attention on the issue with that. Now, if we can get them to look at reform of the CPS system as a whole.
That's a big job, my friend, big job. But you know what? People like you, people like me, we're going to get it there. We're going to get it there.
Well,
I'm not concerned.
Phase 3 is starting now. It's really the whole month. There will be a specific date set to where we want everybody to do it on the same day also. But if you want to write your senator, write your congressman, do it. Call them, write them, email them. They're all on
Twitter. Thank God for the internet.
A lot of them have
Facebook
pages.
Thank God for the frickin' internet. I'll tell you what, because you can make a lot of damage with email. And believe me, I've made my share. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely some very, very upset people about the Internet.
Yeah, well,
let
them be upset.
Which had never been created.
Yeah, sure. And I want to tell you something else, too. These people are diligent about opening their emails. I know this, and I want to tell you about that, too. By the way, I wanted to mention this. HubSpot has this cute little program. It's called Sidekick. And I want you to know that you people in the CPS fight, this particular little tool will serve you as probably one of the best things you have ever, ever put on your computer in probably 20 years. SpyBot was about the last thing I ever put on my computer that I always thought that was going to be good for life, and it is. I got to tell you, that's the best spyware removal program out there ever still to this day, even after, 30 years? But Sidekick is invaluable to me because I send people emails and they every time they open one, it tells me where they opened it, what time they opened it, how many times they've opened it all day long, all month long, all week long. I mean, it gives me full, like Google Analytics. It gives me practically the whole thing and tells me everything that's happened. The only problem I foresaw with this program, as a matter of fact, the only thing I didn't like about the program was if you bulk mail, then all it says is somebody opened it here and this many times. It doesn't tell you exactly who. So if you really want to know exactly who's opening your email, send each person individually a letter, and it will tell you exactly who opened what, when, how, where, you know, et cetera, et cetera. This is an invaluable tool in the fight against CPS. I have used this to email people and go, hey, what are you going to do about this? And then I just sit around, wait for them to open it. And if they never open it, then I know what in the hell is going on. I know that they're just ignoring my crap and that this isn't doing any good. So now I can write somebody and say, hey, these people have this email set up where you can make complaints, but they don't ever open anything. What the hell is going on? And then you can get these people to change that. You know, I mean, it's wonderful. It's a great program, but I highly recommend it. And the neat thing about it is you don't ever really have to pay for it, at least not right now anyway. You don't have to pay for it because all you do is you just turn other people onto it, and when they sign up for it, you get a month free. So you get the first month free, 30 days, and then when you email a friend of yours, and you can create your own email accounts and do it that way. You can just receive emails at your other account and then open it up, sign up for it, and then it gives you a free 30 days on your original account. That's pretty cool how that works. I like that. I figured out how to hack around that. So essentially, you just send out invites to people, and if they use it, then you get 30 days free for each person that starts using it. And that person gets 30 days free also. So it's a pretty cool little deal. You might want to check into that. Go ahead, Ash. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you again.
Well, speaking of programs, and we're mentioning being anonymous on Facebook, there is a browser out there called Tor. And it automatically
has your
IP address. For a long time, you weren't able to get on Facebook through Tor, but now they are allowing it. So if you go and you sign up, get an email, like you were saying, an anonymous email, don't use real name, maybe use a Go phone or something, just put a few minutes on it and use that phone number to sign up, then you can be completely anonymous on Facebook.
Nice. Yeah, me, I don't care for anonymity, but I don't really care about that. I'd rather be right on out there. I'm a closet anonymous person if I'm anything. So I'm anonymous to anonymous even. So go ahead.
Correct. I use my real name on Facebook. And, you know, that helps a lot of times because a lot of these people in these groups get to see that I'm a real person and, you know, here's my name. Here's what
right,
I, here's
and
my
that's
picture,
important.
Here's what I, like.
I kind of liked it. I kind of liked it when I got a picture of you flipping me off. That made me think that, yeah, this is a real guy. Yeah, okay, I got it. But anyway, go ahead. Hey, that was pretty classic. I liked it. It was a good picture. I might even post it on my Facebook page. We don't know. But anyway, go ahead. I was kidding. I'm not going to do that.
All right. So I know Anonymous is known for hacking. That's
right.
How Anonymous has gotten in the media. Well, we decided early on that hacking really was not going to get us anywhere in this.
No, absolutely not.
Anywhere but a bunch of trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it would make the cause seem bad. It would give us a bad name, and it would basically, for them to be able to say, you know, the CPS is right, da-da-da.
Yeah.
Yada-yada.
Well, the nice thing about hacking, though,
kid, whatever.
Hacking actually has become a more acceptable, I think, in later times. I mean, I remember back when computers first came out, that it's hackers, oh, my God, and they're putting viruses on our computer systems. But they actually have a much better name now. I mean, a lot of people don't even care anymore. It's like, oh, they hack? Oh, well, big deal. Yeah, I kind of like that. I mean, plus you got to remember, too, there's all these YouTube videos out there of people telling you how to hack. I mean, gee, you know, everybody's going to be a hacker before it's over. Go ahead.
The next generation coming up is a lot more tech savvy than we are, and they're learning quick.
What are you talking about, pal? I'm 50 years old. How do you like them apples? And I'm more tech savvy than you, pal.
The event I did last night had a fourth grader. It had a fourth grader who was banned from using his phone. His mom banned him from using the phone because he was using it to hack.
You gotta like that. You gotta like that, really. But anyway, go ahead.
A lot of people were turning us down and passing out these flyers. Well, you have a fourth grader out there in a Guy Fawkes mask. No one can say no to a fourth grader. It's
horrible. Yeah. Hey, that's a great idea. I like that. Hey, if it worked for Mexico, it should work for us, right?
Right.
Yeah, we can send the kids out there to get more members. Right. Okay, I got you.
So we had a really great image out on the streets last night. It was very successful.
Yeah, tell us about that.
I
want to hear what came out of all that. What did we accomplish? Did we get anything accomplished?
Last night, the event was mainly to raise awareness for the Operation Cyber Privacy about the cybersecurity bills. Like I was saying,
that's
about
right.
Being anonymous on the internet, these cybersecurity bills will take away your right to do that and they'll violate your Fourth Amendment rights. So we're trying to raise awareness and ask people to tell their senators and congressmen to vote no. There was one bill called CISPA. It was defeated, and now they're trying to pass four more bills. They're all the same thing, just to confuse people. But
right.
I didn't really call in to talk about that. Is there anything else that you wanted to ask?
Well, not right at the moment. I'm going to look through the chat room real quick because there's been a lot of stuff going on here. Jim Black, he says, every wrongfully removed child in turn becomes abused by the state because their life is forever altered. He says, we need to find out which congressional committee that Health and Human Services falls under. They hold the hurt purse strings. Now we know what states we need to get more involved in. I have a grandson that has been cracking phone passwords since he was four, he says. Angie, I've seen you still been in this chat room all this time. You said you were going to try and give me a call on the other phone. I still haven't heard from you yet. If you want to say something, if you want to ask Mr. Fawkes any questions, you are more than welcome to call in and press the 1 when you get into me so that I know you have a little question to go. Want to go ahead and plug the episode again, Ash, for a minute. This is America's Deadly Sins. We have a blog, the same name, 347-324-5146 is the call-in number. That is 347-324-5146. I know I got a lot of people listening in. I'm sure I'm going to have record listeners tomorrow. I've been promoting the crap out of this episode. You guys, if you're listening, call in, say something. I could use I know my voice is starting to crack. I could use a rest. Why don't you go ahead, Mr. Fawkes, and why don't you go ahead and promote your events that are upcoming. Go ahead and promote the webs, groups that you would like people to join. If the ones that you think are good, why don't you give us your opinion? People that you want to put out there as good to associate with. Those are the kind of things that these people would like to know. There's a lot of help available out there, guys. And if you're going through the same thing that I personally am going through and fighting these bastards, there's a lot of really good help out there. There's a lot of good groups to belong to, and I believe Mr. Fawkes has his finger on quite a few of them. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what you know there, bud?
Okay, June 5th, the International Day of Protests. Like I said, we'll have Phase 3 and Phase 4 leading up to that. Phase 3 is where you contact Senate members and House members for your state and ask them, basically demand reform of Child Protective Services, reform of the way they're funded. They need accountability and oversight. And then Phase 4 will be contacting media. If you have connections in the media, contact them, let them know about the June 5th protest in your state. We will be posting a revised, updated list this weekend, probably tomorrow. And if you would like to organize June 5th in your city, please contact us on Facebook, Op Exposed CPS, and we will get you into the group. You can find other people that want to organize there in your city. We have about 300 cities listed so far. And I would say about 200 of them are going to be protesting. There's only a couple organizers in some of the cities. Yeah, the confirmed protests, there's close to 100, I would say, really confirmed protests where there's about 4 to 5 main organizers that really want to do this.
Okay.
And it's growing daily.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, 100 is better than what we have been doing. So I'm good with that.
There's about 10 people, 10 to 15 people join the group every day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, and
just
I think
for,
that's important to know.
Group.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also
oh, no,
have a
I'm
group
not
for
surprised.
Discussion. We also have a group for discussion, too. Just regular Exposed CPS group on Facebook. If you want to talk about your case, whatever. And then to organize, one of the things you can do that I can't personally do all of this myself is go around and find the anonymous pages or Occupy groups, Occupy pages, anonymous groups for your state or your city, and put the event out there. Say, hey, would anyone like to help me organize this? And I promise you, anonymous members will jump on this and they will be there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I know of something else. I know you're probably getting tired of talking to me, but I don't really care. I'd really like to dig into you personally. Now, I'm not going to ask you any personal questions as far as, you know, where are you from exactly? I want to know what block you're on, anything like that. I do want to know, I know that a lot of people would like to know how it is that you got started in all this stuff. Tell me about your personal history a little bit.
Well, I used to partake of cannabis. I don't anymore.
No, but, not you.
But growing up, I saw a lot of friends get their children taken for that and just bullshit reasons. I thought, that's not a reason to take someone's kids away. You know, it's not hard drugs. They're not abusing hard drugs. I saw their lifestyle. They took good care of their kids and gave them a great home, great life, and they tragically ripped from their parents and traumatized all because of a freaking plant.
Yeah.
It really pissed me off. And,
oh, dude,
I've had a lot of drive.
We got into a big discussion about drugs yesterday on my show, and I got to tell you guys, it makes me sick. It makes me sick that just because some idiot out there who wanted to have a better time than what he was having in our crazy ride called life, found himself a way to extract a little oil from some plant that was already here, been here for years and millions of years, and just because he figured out a way to do this, now we're, oh, no, wait a minute, he's having way too good of a time. Let's put a law on this. This kind of thing just really pisses me off, and the only reason that we have all of the drugs that we have now, and we're not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about things like peyote and things like that. Those are plants. Those are plants. And I'm sorry, folks, but as far as I'm concerned, if it grows in the ground, you can't stop people from, you can't slap a law on people for this. I don't give a shit if it makes you crumble into dust. If that's what they want to do with it, let them do it. Okay? I don't care about what those people do. I don't care if they're sniffing coke in their living room. Coke used to be one of the biggest accepted drugs in our country. People used to go to the discos and snort it all the time. It didn't bother anybody until they made it into crack.
I definitely didn't come on here to talk about drugs, but I will say the hypocrisy of caseworkers, they're allowed to go and take children from families all day long, then go home and drink a 12-pack and sit and relax while they think about, so they can, you know.
And then they talk to their kids, and then they sit
doing.
There and breathe on their kids. I know exactly what you're talking about, and what I am going to say something about that, because this just makes me real. This makes me real hostile. I remember there was once a visit supervisor that got up on the stand. And now, remember, guys, I've been representing myself throughout my case. I got rid of my public pretender within a couple of weeks, okay? I did not want this guy on my side. He was not on my side anyway. He was part of the court. He was working for the court. He was dealing with the court. And he was working for the judge. And a lot of times I thought he was working for the prosecution, too, because this guy did absolutely nothing for me and a lot of times hurt me more than he helped me. And so I got rid of him almost immediately. And I said, no way, I can practice law better than this guy can. Obviously, I have a brain, I have a mouth, I can make this work, okay? And I had 2 years of pre-law, which kind of helps too. But that's not the issue. The issue is, and it was very poorly taught too, but neither here nor there, I was the guy that defended myself. And they put a worker, this visitation worker, who has, by the way, all the way through our case for 8 months now, claimed that the mother has never learned how to put a diaper on. Can you believe this crap? Tried to tell us this right in the beginning, and then the worker who had her removed said she can't put a diaper on right. They have carried that theme throughout our entire case, mostly because I stood up to them. And they said, well, if he's going to stand up to us, then we're just not going to help him at all. And I refused to jump through any of their hoops. Now, you guys, I've said this many, many times. Mothers are emotional. They are very emotional, and they're focused. The minute that child leaves their arms, all they care about is getting that child back in their arms. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, my God, please, no, don't ever stop being like that. My point is, these people know that and take advantage of it and play on that weakness more than anything else in the whole world. They will turn you against everybody in order to keep that child in the system and to make you jump through their little hoops, which make all of their friends money. And the whole thing is here that these people, when they saw that I was fighting them back, they decided that we were never getting our kids back, and I knew that. Me and the wife looked at each other one day. This was back maybe 3 months in. And here in Iowa, by the way, this is probably the worst state to lose your kids in because your rights are terminated in 6 months. You don't get this 18 months that you guys, most of you guys enjoy. 6 months, and they're terminating your rights. They take that child away. You got 6 months to turn it around and do it right, or you're gone. You're gone. And the success rate of termination in our state is 52%. 52% of the time they terminate your rights here. And most of the time, I'd say of that 52%, maybe 10 actually need to have their rights terminated. But they've found a mecca here in Iowa because we have made it 6 months. And it's easier than hell to get over on the judges. We only have, I believe, in our capital city, we only have 5 juvenile court judges. 5. That means out of those 5, I can almost guarantee you that 3 to 4, maybe all of them, are bought out. Almost all of them are probably in DHS's back pocket by now. And as a matter of fact, from what I've heard, that's about true, too. But anyway, my point being that they had the worker on the stand, the visitation worker. This is a woman who's claiming that in 6 months, the mother has never once put on a diaper on the child right. Does that sound good to you? So anyway, they say she can't ever diaper a child. And this is the second hearing that we've done. And she's just sitting on the stand, just lying. Well, I don't feel that she has the cognitive ability to take care of a child and blah, 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 blah. And after she was done, the judge says, do you have anything else you'd like to address the witness on? And I got up and I said, are you a mother? Objection sustained. I got to ask that. And that's all I got. I wanted to bring this person out as somebody who was an expert on mothering and how to diaper a child. I wanted to see how long she's been doing this. And by the way, this was a first-time mother. My wife was a first-time mother. She'd never had kids before. She's 36 years old. She decided finally she was going to have a baby, and they took the baby away from her at 9 days old out of the hospital after making her stay there for 72 hours while they falsely documented her as being neglectful. Every time she'd want to go to sleep, they'd say, oh, she slept, and we came in and fed the baby. She missed feeding. Neglect! Neglect! And I'm like, are you serious? This is what you're using? Every time she'd walk out to go get a pack of cigarettes, oh, she wasn't here. We fed the baby. That's neglect. That's how they did it. And this woman has been sitting up here for a half an hour slamming my wife's smothering abilities. And I get up and I ask one question, are you a mother? That was it. Objection sustained. I was like, what? For what reason? Judge looks at me. He goes, oh, I have to give you a reason. Okay, son of a bitch. He's on my bitch list. You can best believe he's going to lose his job before this is all over. Ash, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to go into a personal vendetta here, but here we go. Are you still with me?
Oh, yeah. And speaking of a shit list, Anonymous does have a shit list that we are taking track of for later use.
Yeah, I call it the Bruce bitch list. That's what I call mine.
One of the things you mentioned about mothers reacting when their children are taken, that's maternal instinct. That's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And if it doesn't, there might be a problem. And they will use that against you. If you do react, then you're not psychologically to raise a child. And if you don't
Oh, yeah,
react,
absolutely.
Oh, that's maternal
Absolutely.
Instinct.
I love.
Reacting. They'll use that.
I love that
way.
There is no middle ground. There's no middle ground in this crap. There's no middle ground. If you do it one way, you're this. If you do it the other way, you're that. There is no middle ground. There is no, this is okay. There is no this is okay. Everything you do, everything you say, every way you act, every facial expression you make is a problem. I'm sorry, go ahead.
One of the things that I do not think that parental rights should be permanently terminated unless it has to do with sexual abuse.
Hey, Ash, can I tell you a little secret? Can I tell you a little secret? I don't give a shit if you tell me my rights are terminated. That doesn't stop me from being that baby's father.
Right, and foster parents are not foster parents. They're foster caregivers.
Thank you. And you can stand in court and you can rule that my rights are terminated, but that doesn't mean they're terminated. That means you say they're terminated, but that baby will always be mine. And I will always be its father. I don't give a shit what you say, pal.
Correct. I object to the term authority figures. There's no such thing as authority. That's imaginary. There are positions of responsibility.
Thank you.
And accountability. And that is it.
Thank you. Thank
you. They are accountable to us, the people.
I agree with you 100%. We're going to put it out there again, Ash. I'm glad you stuck with me, buddy. It's now, we've got now 55 minutes left. I don't think we're going to be able to make this a two-hour show with you because you're just not much of a talker. You just sit there. Of course, I'm talking too much too, so I guess that has a lot to do with it. But I'm going to go ahead and throw the call-in number out one more time. We're gonna give Ash a break because Ash had to listen to me for the last hour, and that really sucks for a person. The guest call-in number is 347-324-5146. 347-324-5146. I encourage everybody that is listening now to call. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your questions. We want to hear you talk. This is America's Deadly Sins. We have a blog, same name. The captain, I want to go ahead and plug him tonight. Captain is on. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The captain is not on today. I am so sorry. This is Saturday. I keep forgetting that I go an extra day besides him. We do not do this show on Sunday, by the way, for those of you listening in. We do not do this on Sunday. So please don't come back tomorrow and expect me to be here, because that is my day and God's day of rest. So I play along with him on that one. I don't really know what else to say, Ash. We could just go ahead and cut this short, and we can go back to whatever it is that we do with what we do, wherever we do it, and call it a day. I don't know.
Well, I wanted to mention the different anonymous groups are already on board with this.
Yes, please. That's one of the things I wanted you to do.
Well, obviously, Anonymous in Arkansas and Mississippi and Southern California were some of the founders, the people that started this. And then we've got Anonymous Oregon on board, Anonymous Colorado, Anonymous Michigan, Anonymous New York, Anonymous Arizona, Anonymous New Mexico, Anonymous in Texas, Anonymous in Florida. A lot of people on Florida. We have to get them organized, figure out where everybody's at and which cities they're going to be. We have 3 cities in Florida so far. Tampa, Tallahassee. I think someone just contacted us from Orlando and wants to do a fairly large anonymous movement.
I would think they'd need
Miami
one.
Also.
In Miami, oh my God, you'd think they'd need one down there.
Yes, we really haven't confirmed a location for that yet, but we will. We will be
good.
Posting updated lists of cities with locations, times, all of that. And we're asking people to go ahead and print the general flyer for the U.S. and distribute it. And it has links to contact us on there to help organize.
Hey, that's a really good question, Ash. I wanted to ask you about that too. Do the individual cities have their own flyers now, or are they working on that, or what's the deal with it?
Quite a few of them have their individual flyers. Phoenix.
Can you tell me about
Denver
mine?
Does.
Can you tell me? Does Des Moines?
Sacramento
yet?
Does. Not yet. I have
not
given the
yet.
Details to the flyer maker, and that we will be receiving it soon.
Cool. Cool. Very cool.
The smaller cities will not get really nice flyers. They'll get a flyer with just the times and dates where the demands are on the flyer.
Actually, you know what? You may want to talk to me about that after the show, Ash, because really, to be honest with you, I am a graphic designer, you know. Okay, you do not know this about me yet, but I am a graphic designer of the higher order. I've been around for about 30 years, and I've done some good stuff. But I could probably help with something like that in my state, anyway, put something together that's a little more appealing to the eye, if you will. So if we have to go with a substandard flyer for the smaller cities, I'd rather contribute the real deal. So maybe you and I could talk about
deal,
that after we're done.
Because we are very backed up on the flyers. The flyer person is in college right now and is very busy. They've been able to get about 2 or 3 flyers a week, and we definitely need that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could probably knock heads with him and maybe help him out or something.
Okay, we'll get you in contact with him.
Okay, that'd be great. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you again. Well, yeah, I did, but I'll never admit it, so don't ask me to repeat it. Go ahead.
Also, one of the things, I spoke to this group, parentalrights.org. Their goal is to pass a parental rights amendment to the Constitution, where parents' rights will trump children's rights in family court. And I think that is what's needed to
dude,
preserve personal
liberty.
Dude, that's
been a given. That's been a given for the last 15,000 centuries, okay? A parent's rights have always trumped children's rights. I don't care what you say. We are the parents of these. I'm sorry, but a 13-year-old does not decide over the parent whether she's going out on a date or not. I'm of the old school, my friend, and I'm sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, if I say no, you have to agree because it's
correct.
My house, my rules. And it sounds like a real old fogey thing to say, but really, one of the things
that's the
that
backbone
bugs
of America.
Me, oh yeah, absolutely.
And when
I mean,
take that away, America will go downhill.
I hate to tell you this, folks. I hate to tell you. I hate to be the one to tell you this, people. Before CPS came along, we were just doing fine. Thank you very much. Now, there are some things. There are some things that were probably not as good as they could have been. But for the most part, we were doing just fine. I don't know. I mean, there were some. There were probably a lot of problems out there that were not. Well, obviously there were, or else it wouldn't have ever became an issue, and it would have never came up with the rules that we have now, and we would have never had CPS to begin with. Obviously, there were some major issues out there that really needed to be dealt with. But when this organization came into being, it was all about helping those who are children who are abused and neglected. I got to tell you, I watched a TEDx show the other day. Now, a lot of people don't have much faith in TEDx. It's not that great a deal. I think it's the shit. I love it. I watch at least 3 or 4 episodes of TEDx every day, because there are some really interesting people on there doing a lot of interesting stuff and having a lot of interesting things to say. I remember one I watched was the Make Love Not Porn. I thought that was great. I thought that was a great deal. It was kind of cool what they had set up. And the lady that talked about it was just awesome. I was just listening to her going, wow, that's pretty cool. And she was from England or something. But anyway, TEDx, I think, is a phenomenal deal. It can be a little boring at times. Sometimes I'll pick a boring episode, but not very often. A lot of these people have some really cool things to say. And if you go on to TEDx and you look up family stuff or maybe legal stuff even, you come across some guys with some really cool ideas about stuff. And one of those things that I came across was a lady that was talking about rethinking foster care. And it was just awesome. I posted it on my webpage, and I posted it on my YouTube, and I posted it everywhere, because this was a really cool way to present it. She was actually a worker. She had been a worker at one point and had involved a lot of people in foster care, and she was very heavily involved in the actual, you know, removing of children, putting them in foster care, putting them in adoption, and all that stuff. She was actively involved in all that stuff. And then she said, one day I just sat down and plunked down in my chair, and I was like, this is not working. This is not working for us. This is not. I think I'm doing good here, but one of the things she presented was, we tend to confuse feeling good about doing something with success. Just because it feels good to take this child out of this home doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Okay? We may have saved that child, but what have we done to the family? Or what have we done to that child who just wants to go home? It's obvious this child wants to go home. That's all this kid talks about. I want to go home with mom. And it's something that doesn't, you know, these people may be taught that what they're doing is the right thing. And they may be brainwashed into thinking what they're doing is the right thing. Some of these people, I cannot imagine going through this entire thing from beginning to end and not getting even a little bit of a wink of doubt that what they're doing is wrong. I don't understand that. I don't think that person exists anymore. I don't think those kind of people exist anymore. I seriously have a belief that CPS actually goes to prisons and picks people out of the lineup of people that are just getting out today and hires these people to be CPS workers, because 9/10 of these workers are in on this big scheme that we have going. And what better person to perjure themselves in court, to lie and cheat in getting a child away from a parent and keeping them there throughout this whole injustice than a criminal? A criminal sleeps at night every night just fine without a conscience. I believe these are the people that they make CPS workers. And there is one state in our country, by the way, right now, that has 377 caseworkers with backgrounds, criminal backgrounds. And we're not talking about jaywalking or a speeding ticket. We're talking about robbery and sexual abuse. And this is no joke. And I seriously believe that because this has gotten to be where they just can't hide it anymore, they can't hide that they're taking children away from people illegally. There's no way you can hide that from social workers or police, either one. I believe, seriously, that they go to the jails and wait for these people to get out and go, hey, you want to be a CPS worker? I wouldn't doubt that even a little bit, because what better person to sit there and lie throughout a six-month period or an 18-month period than somebody that's already used to doing it? And who's used to doing it? People that have been in jail for the last 5 years are used to doing it. Those people are expert liars. These are excellent crime committers. These people won't have any bones at all about ripping a child out of your arms. Am I right?
Correct. People definitely do not have consciences. Or, like you said, they've been brainwashed. And I think a lot of the classes that they have these people take, the training that they give to people that are not licensed social workers, are basically that. They're aimed at brainwashing them. They're aimed at showing them which kids to take that are the target for the adoption market.
Yeah.
So,
as a matter of fact, I've heard that gets pretty
adoptable.
I've heard that it's very intricate, even. They even look for a certain eye color and mm-hmm. skin color, and I'm not kidding you. I think they go all the way with this. And I think they generally do not hold on to black babies, because black babies are not adoptable. If they take the kids at all, they usually end up returning those, because 9 times out of 10, that's not what people want. They don't want a black baby.
Or leave them in an abusive home.
Oh, absolutely.
There was a little black girl in my city that had cigarette burns all over her body. Multiple people called and reported this. They did nothing.
Yeah, what's going on there? You know, I mean, here's one that was, here, I got one right here. Somebody said that they called because they were tying their kids to the stroller. And you know when they showed up? 3 months later.
Wow.
Really? You know when they called on us? They were there within an hour. They had that baby in foster care in 2 hours. After the 3-day period where they held my wife captive in the hospital, they had that baby right in foster care in 2 hours. Boom. And she was kidding.
One of the excuses they use to take kids is this thing called dependency neglect. And it doesn't have to be sexual or physical abuse.
This gal I was helping out in Texas had her kids taken away because she was too overprotective. I was like, how do you be too overprotective as a mother? And why are you taking my kids away for that? Give me a break.
It's a term they use, dependency neglect. It needs to be redefined. It needs to be thrown out as a reason to take kids altogether. Because
there's a lot of reasons that need to be thrown out altogether.
Right. That's what they used to turn a sink full of dirty dishes into a reason to take someone's kids in family court.
Right.
Dependency neglect. It's bullshit is what it is.
I've got to tell you a little story, Ash. Just take me a second, maybe a minute. One of the things, the worker came in. This was on the day of the interview, which, by the way, once the interview was done, what happened was a woman from Florida who had been staying with us got kicked out, and she got pissy with about it and decided to call DHS on us and told them that we were dealing and doing drugs in our apartment. So they came out for an interview, and first the wife was home by herself, and they talked to her for about a half an hour. And then after they were done with that, I ended up showing up at the door, and they talked to us for about another half an hour. And then they left, and they said, well, there's no problem here. It's obviously vindictive behavior on the part of the caller. And we were like, okay, well, thanks. See you later. Bye. And we thought it was all over again. And then the next morning when I left to leave, the social workers came back and found the mother outside smoking a cigarette, and they pounded that sucker to death. Oh, she was outside smoking a cigarette, and the baby was inside. Yeah? Well, would you rather she was inside blowing smoke up the baby's ass? What do you want here? I mean, what? You know, if she'd have been in there blowing smoke in the baby's face, she would have said that was neglectful. What the hell? And she was outside smoking a cigarette because she didn't want to be around the baby smoking. And they just pounded on that. Okay, so you're not a smoker. Do you really have to get on my wife for smoking? Come on, what's the deal here, really? And then the one thing I just loved, this was, you mentioned the dirty dish thing. I wanted to tell you what happened to us. They sat there during the interview. She put it in her assessment that the mother, there were several bottles lying around, and that the mother picked up a dirty bottle and started making a bottle with it. And she didn't say anything to her, evidently, according to this assessment. She got done making the bottle and handed the dirty bottle to the other social worker, who then fed her with it. And she didn't say anything to that worker as far as, no, don't stop, don't feed her with that. And she didn't mention that in her report either, but she just let her feed her with it. And I was like, you're going to remove our child using that we made a bottle out of a dirty bottle, and that you took the bottle and fed her with it? Really? And you didn't even say anything about, we didn't think of that. I don't know. I mean, I can't wait to. Next week is my, by the way, the 14th and 15th is my assessment appeal. Now, the assessment that was done on us was done here in Iowa. It's done 21 days. They go over a period of 21 days, and then they make a full report out of it. Well, this woman lied 55-plus times in this assessment. I circled every single lie and rebutted it in full to the judge, who basically went, yeah, and basically just lied her ass off on the stand, in the assessment, all over the place, lied. And what I was trying to get at, what was I trying to get at? Oh, well, anyway, the assessment appeal. So the assessment appeal is coming up, and this woman is going to be it's a two-day event, 14th and 15th, and I'm going to have a pre-protest, by the way. I want everybody to know that. I'm going to invite everybody to Des Moines, Iowa, to the Wallace Building on 9th, East 9th and Grand. You can all come down. It's a public hearing. This is going to be a fun time, folks, because I have a fair judge. Can you believe it? I have a woman who's actually fair. And the other guy is going to lose his ass, and I'm going to hand it to him personally, because this woman is going to be on the stand all day, the first day. The first day, she will be there all day, and I'm just going to love getting this woman back up on the stand so I can grill her and tear her into little itty-bitty bits, and I'm going to have such a good time doing it. But anyway, moving right along.
Another thing I want to mention is that if you are planning any protests or events to raise awareness about this in other cities before June 5th or after June 5th, well, let us know on the Off Exposed CPS page.
I am going to let you know right now that I'm going to have an event on the 14th, and it's going to be a pre-appeal assessment protest, and we're going to be making sure that we get justice done in that hearing.
And when we get it, we will send that to other anonymous groups in that state or that city and let them know it's taking place. And
okay,
sure,
cool.
Get them to show up.
Cool. You and I are going to be talking about that after the show is over also. We are now at 3:30, and believe it or not, unless you've got some extra things you want to tell us about, Ash, I don't really see much point in carrying this any further. I have tried to ask for callers. Wait a minute. Hold it. Hold the phone. Nope, never mind. That's me and you. Okay, I'm going to put out one more call for callers, Ash. I'm just going to tell you that we're going to go ahead and cut this
thing before we.
Go ahead. Please. If you have more, please come on with it.
Well, like I mentioned, that the child abuse hotline is ran by the state police, and then the tips are passed on to CPS, where they make an outline of the case file. And the actual workers, that's the supervisors that do that. I've heard them called ghostwriters also, ghostwriters. And the individual caseworkers go out there and interview the family, then make a report. Anything that makes the family look good or goes against that initial report, and the initial report could be totally false allegations. You know, there could be no truth to it at all. And anything that doesn't fit in with that initial outline that they used, they wrote up to demonize the family, is edited out. And I've spoken with several caseworkers here in my state that have had that happen. In fact, one was at our last protest and said that she made it about 3 months working for CPS before she was fired for working overtime to reunite families. So I think becoming a caseworker, it's a lot like becoming a cop. If you have good intentions and you want to reunite families, you're fired. You know, like if you don't work to generate revenue, you get fired. So if you want to stay on, you get corrupted, you get jaded, and you know, like you said, you know, you get brainwashed.
Right. Absolutely. And I agree with that 100%. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't doubt that a lot of – I don't know. I wouldn't doubt that some of these people had really good intentions going in. Just like cops, just like lawyers, I'm sure a lot of these people had really good intentions going in. Well, I'm going to do some pro bono work for my family, and I'm going to help out in the community. But I don't know what happens to them in the middle of school somewhere. They come out on the other side something otherworldly. I don't know what they come out like, but, I mean, they start – with lawyers, it's, you know, they start speaking these strange languages, and you're like, what the hell are you talking about, man? And, you know, and then they're all about the money then, you know, and it's like, oh, my God, what happened to you? I mean, you were in law school. You were going to be a pro bono worker. You haven't done a damn thing pro bono. What the hell? But although I might say, I do have to say pro bono is actually a requirement of being a lawyer. You have to do some pro bono work. It's a requirement. You have to do so many hours of pro bono work. Well, I think that's the way it is in some states. I don't know about all states, but I do know that you have to do some pro bono work. But I believe that it all works out the same way. And the problem is that these people are given power, and then they're told that they're immune to prosecution, which, by the way, that immunity does not always apply on a federal level. Thank you very much. So if you've gone through the whole state deal, folks, if you're dealing with CPS and all these people are immune to prosecution in our state, everybody is immune to prosecution as long as they had a finger in removing your child. If the doctors, the nurses, the judges, the lawyers, the cops, everybody, the reporter's even immune to prosecution. Everybody is immune to prosecution in our state that has anything to do with a child removal case. But here's the deal. They don't know that.
Well, that's a law. That's a law that we can change on a state level. We can demand that our representatives at the state level reform.
Well, we've tried that. We've tried that a lot. Yeah, we've tried that a lot.
But what they're worried about,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I am going to let you finish here in about a second. What I'm going to tell you, the problem with that is that the argument that they use against that is if we take away the immunity, nobody will report or do anything about child abuse anymore because they'll be afraid of lawsuits. Well, the way I see that is if they're doing the right thing, there's no need for immunity. It's obvious that you guys are making a lot of mistakes or you wouldn't need immunity.
Like the girl I mentioned with the cigarette burns all over her body, no one is going to turn around and try to sue and say, oh, this child was taken without reason. That's ridiculous. Or a child that was molested. No one's going to turn around and sue and say, oh, you shouldn't have taken that child. So if they're doing the right thing, they don't have to worry about being sued.
Right. And if you mess up, then you don't belong in the job in the first place, in my opinion.
Right.
So, I mean, just like any other job. If you're not doing your job well, you don't need to be working it. Anyway, go ahead.
Also, one of the goals of Op-Exposed CPS is to figure out who are the main organizers and activists in each state and city and get them together to work after June 5th towards changing laws on a state level. And we can coordinate to ask lawmakers to change laws on a federal level also. So we're going to be making groups on Facebook for each state, and we're looking for admins to manage those groups in each state. If you'd like to make one, get a hold of us on Facebook if you'd like to be the admin, and we will check out your credentials as far as activism goes, and then we'll set it up and get you going.
Great. Thanks, Ash. Did you want to go ahead and call it a day, or do you have some more to say?
Well, I suppose I'd go ahead and call it a day.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, I'm calling it a day, too, because really, man, I'm on this computer 25/8. It seems like I am always trying to help people. I'm always trying to put in some good advice. My wife is looking at me crazy. You know, she's like, get off that goddamn thing. And, you know, I mean, I really don't belong on it this long. But, you know, in my opinion, we're all fighting the same battle. We're all fighting the same war. We need to stick together, like the captain likes to say. We got to stick together. We've got to stick together. We've got to get together and crush these people and get their laws stripped away from them. We need to get their immunity stripped away. We need confidentiality stripped away from the court system. These people,
definitely.
I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you, Ash. These people could have had bachelor parties in our courtroom and said we were doing the right thing, and nobody would have known, because nobody can look at anything that's going on in our court case until the case is closed. Well, gee, then by that time, they probably altered all the transcripts. They probably changed all the stories, and they probably, forged papers, and God knows what else they've done the whole time that they've had that case open.
And a lot of times, records are sealed after the case is closed.
Right. And another thing, here's another one I love. They tell you, oh, I can't do anything about it as long as the case is open. But then as soon as the case is closed, your rights are terminated, the kids are gone. Oh, we can't do anything for you at this point. Your rights have been terminated. Well, isn't that a slick little scam? Well, that's kind of cool how that works. Oh, man. You know, just this kind of stuff makes me just absolutely sick. Ash, I'm going to tell you
about it. It's only a matter of time before the dam breaks. Well, I wanted to mention phase three again. We are asking everybody to write their senators and congressmen asking for reform of CPS. Mainly the thing that we're trying to target is the federal adoption incentives and change the way that they're funded, and transparency in family courts to pass the Parental Rights Amendment. That will help a lot. So if you could write your congressmen and senators from now until June 5th, that's what we're asking. Phase 3 is going on now until June 5th, and we will be putting out details with all the contact information for everyone's senators and congressmen for their state, just to make it easy for people. That list will be posted soon. There will be an event. And get ready, June 5th, International Day of Protest, Operation Expose CPS.
I'm going to be right there waiting for you, buddy. Anyway, it's been a great show. I don't know about you, but I thought this was a good show. If I would have shut up long enough, I might have actually had a better show, but we won't talk about that. Ash, thank you very much for coming along. We really, really do appreciate the fact that you showed up today. This has been enlightening, regardless of race, color, creed, origin, sex, or religion, and I feel that I need to really thank you for the big efforts that you have put into this movement. I really appreciate you, man. I love you, man. You're the best. I think this has been a good deal. Thank you very much for coming
on
today.
Go ahead, please. I will be on again. Okay. And I tried to get one of the other starters of the operation on here, Radical Edward. Hopefully he will be on the next show, and maybe a couple others.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you are more than welcome to come back any day that you want to, buddy. Just let me know at least a week ahead of time, and you're on.
Also, one more thing. I encourage you to go and check out the Anonymous CAS Watch, Children's Aid Society, nickname of the Children's Abuse Society. On Facebook, they're the Canadian counterparts, and we have Op Exposed CPS UK also. Go on Facebook, check those pages out. And
okay.
That's about it.
Well, I want to give my shout-outs, too. If you'll hang with me for a moment, you might actually get to listen part of your song. but I worked very hard to get on here. We started late just to get it on, okay? You better stick around for that. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I wanted to go ahead and do my little shout-outs. I wanted to thank Jim Black, of course. Jim Black is Angel Eyes over Texas. He is wonderful. This guy will help you if you're anywhere in Texas at all. Please go visit his page, Angel Eyes Over Texas. Jim Black is his name. He's a great guy. He's got a lot of knowledge. He's very helpful. He's with us every day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you that's Central Standard Time. So if you need to come in, type some stuff with him. Our chat room is interactive, so it's not just between me and you. It's between me, you, and everybody else that's in the room as well. So I want to go ahead and say listen to the captain every night during the week, Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Mountain, and 5 o'clock Pacific. And this has been Ash Fox. He's been a great guest. We love him. Thank you very much for coming on today, man. I appreciate your time and your efforts.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for our cue.
Yeah, that's your cue. You got to say you're welcome at this point, okay? Come on.
Well, you're very welcome.
Well, you're welcome back any day, and we're going to go ahead and finish this out with a song that we wouldn't normally have at the end of this.